Football on Off the Ball.
If someone had a song that referenced Sheffield or Hillsborough about Liverpool crying, we'd be up in arms.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Welcome back, Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast. Shane Hannan and myself are here. Dara Smith-Nocton joins us, and live on the line is Susanna Mullen. Susanna, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we all?
Why are we all chatting? I'll tell you why. The Rugby World Cup starts today, England against the USA at 7:30. And on Sunday, Ireland get their campaign going against Japan at midday Irish time. Susanna, it's an exciting period.
Ah, stuff. It's so exciting. It feels very real now. I've just landed in Birmingham Airport, about to hop on the train to Northampton for the weekend ahead of the match. And I feel like we've been talking about it for so long. Honestly, since last year and since the Six Nations, and now it's like it's finally happening. It's very exciting.
How can casual fans expect the Japan game to go?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Ireland should win it. On paper, you know, we're higher ranked in the team. We've done a lot better recently. Kind of Japan are in WXV2. Ireland are obviously in WXV1, and we did really well there, whereas Japan didn't have a great kind of campaign. But I mean, we don't want a repeat of obviously the men's World Cup pool where there was the kind of disaster against Japan, but it can happen. I mean, they're a really rapid side. They've got a kind of new coaching team in place. They've got a lot of support from their union. So I don't know. On paper, definitely Ireland should win, but I feel like it's one of those ones you never want to be too confident.
Yeah. Aoife Wafer is missing for the first game. We're hoping we're getting back as the pool progresses. So it's Spain second and then New Zealand third. And I think the order of those games could be very crucial, Susanna.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they only need to win two games in order to make it through to the quarters. So the way it's lined up, you know, is hopefully going to be ideal. We'll have a win against Japan, hopefully a win against Spain, and then go into that New Zealand game with hopefully Aoife Wafer returning. I mean, it's all a bit up in the air at the moment, but she'll hopefully be there to make the impact. And then whether they win or lose that game, she'll be there to take them into the quarters and hopefully beyond.
The warm-up performances, Susanna, like obviously the Canada game result-wise didn't end in a positive sense, but the second half performance, some things we can glean from them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as they said, kind of going into those warm-up games, it wasn't all about performance. Obviously, winning momentum would have been really important, would have been really helpful. But what they really wanted to do was put together a whole kind of group of new, young, somewhat inexperienced players, build up a game plan, and they seem to be very happy with what they were able to do and what they were able to take from the training ground and put onto the pitch. So obviously a little bit of work needed maybe in defense, and hopefully they've gone away and fixed a couple of those things. But also, I mean, Canada are second in the world. They're a huge side. So even to put that performance up against them in the second half and put that kind of scoreline on them, that's, I mean, a promising sign going into a World Cup.
Is the system such under Scott Beaman that, like the Aoife Wafer absence is massive, Susanna, obviously, but is the system in place that you can get an alternative pretty handily here compared to, say, where Ireland were even like 2 years ago in the Six Nations? You know, we've come on leaps and bounds, so there shouldn't be a reason to get too disappointed without Wafer in match day one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tricky situation. Obviously, our depth is huge in comparison to a couple of years ago. And we've got amazing newcomers coming up, like Ivana Kiripati at 8 and a couple of other big names who are really showing promise. But it's also a difficult situation to be in. You know, is your World Cup campaign where you want to be starting off these youngsters, or would you rather have those more experienced players? So I don't know. I don't think we've seen quite enough of them yet to know whether that depth will pay off. But I mean, it's certainly a better situation to be in than we were when we really had nobody kind of to replace our star players, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Who are you looking out for from the Irish side of, in terms of up and coming players that you think will emerge this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them. I think I heard Scott Beaman say the other day that the average cap is like 17 years of age. So it's a ridiculously young side.
That is mad,
Yeah, it is mental. And I mean, that has pros and cons, obviously. But someone who I've been really tuned into is Nancy, I'm going to butcher her last name, but it's McGillivray, I think. And she's not necessarily one of the young coming through Ireland, but she's she grew up playing sevens in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And then she played in Exeter, went through a couple of injuries, and now she's just debuted for Ireland. But she is someone who, I mean, her, if you've watched her ever play with Exeter Chiefs, her knowledge of the rugby game is incredible for someone who grew up playing sevens and then only came into 15s late. But she's kind of someone who's all over the pitch. She knows the game inside and out. She's very exciting to watch. And we've only seen her once in that green jersey. But she's someone who I think will definitely, hopefully, if she, I mean, the competition in that midfield is massive with Aoife Dalton and Eve Higgins and Enya Breen. But if she does get a couple of games, which hopefully she will, I think she's a really exciting prospect.
Dara, who are you looking out for?
Nancy's a great shout. I just don't know how many minutes she'll actually get just because of the competition she has in the midfield. I have three written down.
Yeah.
I have three standout players, but if I'm to pick one from the three, I think Aoife Dalton she's turning in. I think she will be a world-class player in a couple of years' time.
Yeah.
She's still only, I think, 22. And she's already cemented herself into that midfield for Ireland. Especially, there was such a contrast to last year where she was really scrounging for minutes with Eve Higgins and Enya Breen already there. And then she goes and plays all five games in the Six Nations this year. It's like, okay, she's clearly being favoured by Scott Beaman now. And I really, really think she's going to have an amazing World Cup. I expect her to play most games. Depending on the rotation decisions that are being made by Scott Beaman, but definitely watch out for her because she is an absolute beast in the centres.
What will Japan try to do to nullify Ireland? What would be an effective strategy?
They'll try and a big thing for them will be covering the backfield because Ireland's kicking has been a massive part of their game, particularly out of Dana's hands and Stacey Flood's hands. So a big thing will just be covering the space and watching out for kicks to touch. And our set piece has been very consistent as well. Now we are missing some key players around that, like Dorothy Wall and Aaron King. But trying to nullify that set piece and that kicking. We're not really too much of a running team, so maybe they won't concentrate too much on trying to squeeze us in towards the middle of the pitch. But kicking and set piece, scrum has been pretty impressive as well. So there are a few things there.
Susanna, the reward here for winning the pool, as unlikely as it might sound on paper for Ireland, is seismic, because if everything goes according to plan and the favourites win, we wouldn't play England until the final if we win the pool. I was looking at that. But if we come second, which is expected sitting here this morning, we'd get France in the quarterfinals. But even if we overcome France, then we'd get England in the semifinals. So the difference is massive.
Yeah. Avoid England for as long as possible, I'd say, is every team's route in this World Cup. But yeah, it is huge. And also playing France, again, I think Ireland could 100% beat France. We came very close in the Six Nations, put up a huge performance. But I think mentally playing France in the quarters, especially when you lost against them most recently, I think that will be tough. Whereas I think if they can top their pool and they come off with a win against New Zealand again, can you imagine the kind of euphoric momentum that they'll carry into those quarters and then not having to face England in the semis? If they can do that, I think it will really set them up for potentially going all the way in this World Cup. But I mean, New Zealand is a huge barrier to overcome. And I think, I mean, maybe they underestimated us a little bit last year in WXV1. Didn't quite have their game plan set up to play the Ireland team that went out. I mean, nothing to take away from Ireland's performance. They were phenomenal, but I think New Zealand will be better prepared and more ready for this game than they were last year.
Dara, you've been going through some of the player profiles, I suppose, to get to know some of these players a little bit better ahead of tomorrow.
Yeah, so myself and Susanna. Sunday, yeah. Myself and Susanna had the idea of kind of letting the Irish public get to know some of the players a bit better. So we've gone through each and every one of the Irish squad and done a player profile on each.
Lovely.
I'll try and crack through a few. I'll start with the scrum halves here, which is probably one of the busiest places on the pitch for Ireland at the minute. We have three very established international players competing for that position. The first being Aveen Riley. She's 24 years old from County Roscommon. She's one of three Irish players in the squad that are from the club Ballinasloe, which is a bit of a crazy thing, really. The other two being Bethan Parsons and Maeve Dealey. Just like Bethan Parsons, she's struggled with injuries in recent times. She's had two ACL tears within 9 months in the lead up to this. The most recent coming just before the Olympics, of course. Her being involved with the Sevens, obviously, for a decent period of time as well. She was ruled out at the Olympics, but she's back now. She had a decent Six Nations. Again, was one of these players that kind of struggled for consistent minutes just because of the competition in her position. Started one or two games, came off the bench a couple of times. Impressed, considering the awful injury she just came from. And like I say, unfortunately for her, she's walked back into a stacked area in that Ireland squad. And so moving on to her competitors in that position,
yep.
Molly Scuffle-McCabe, who's from Lucan in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds very local, but she currently plays in Manawatu in New Zealand. She's been playing her trade there. She's studying veterinary down there, but she's been making her way back to Ireland for the Six Nations as of late. So, and coincidentally, she really has a similar style to James Gibson-Park in that she's a very good tackler, a very good decision maker, but also has that speed required at that position. A funny quick story about her is that she was, when she was in secondary school, her PE teacher was former international Fiona Coughlin.
Oh.
And Fiona Coughlin noticed her athletic ability and told her, you know, you should give rugby a go here. You might have a chance of doing something here. And very quickly, she made it into the Ireland under-18s in 2014, I believe. And she really hasn't looked back since. So there's another option at scrum half for Ireland. Another interesting thing is when asked about Ireland's chances at the World Cup, she reckons we can win the whole thing.
Oh.
She said,
hey, confidence.
I like
it. Got to manifest it.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. We fully believe we can. I really think this group is special and there's no reason why not. They're prepared to dig deep. We've got the tactics. So, yeah.
Okay. Susanna, walk us back on that one. Walk us backwards. We've lifted the trophy. How have we managed that?
What do you mean?
So if Ireland win the World Cup, how would we have gone about that outside of, say, an underperformance of the giants of, say, the likes of New Zealand and England? Is it actually within Ireland's own powers and control to go very far here? Are they that good?
It's a big statement, Colm. I want to manifest it alongside Molly. I think, why not? They have pulled out huge performances in the past. I don't think it's impossible. Would I say right now, looking at some of the teams in this World Cup and some of the quality of the players, I can't see it happening. I see either Canada or England winning this World Cup, but alongside Molly, I'm willing to manifest it all the way. I don't think it's impossible.
Impossible is nothing. We don't have Erin King, though. Like, and that's there's your. I was speaking with Fiona Hayes last week, and she was saying, "Colm, like you, I don't think people realise how amazing Erin King. Like, she is ridiculous for a person who hasn't even played many 15s games. Like, in the grand scheme of things, you know, with that award she got last year in World Rugby, was incredibly ahead of schedule for most people. But Fiona says to me, no, Colm, like, she's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's one player down of renown.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about
50
here.
50 to 1, by the way. We're 50 to 1.
5-0.
Sixth favourites. 5-0. To win.
No one wins a World Cup without a few injuries. Like, look at New Zealand's 2015. They had three out halves go down in the tournament itself.
But they could afford it maybe a little bit.
Sure.
Than
I'm not saying we're going to win the whole thing, but like, no team is injuryless, you know?
I don't think we can afford any more injuries, though, is what I would say. As in, other squads might be, exactly, or props. Other squads might be able to afford a few injuries as they go through this campaign. I think if we lose any more key players, we're going to have some serious issues.
Sure. What about the rest? Like, what else should we be looking at?
I have one more scrum half here. I'll go through. Emily Lane. Now, I think she'll be our starting scrum half, personally. It really is a toss-up between the three. It could be anyone.
There was changes during the Six Nations, right?
Exactly. They were rotated in and out. Yeah. So it's very hard to tell. Herself being from Mallow, County Cork. Yep. Your Cork, of course. She'd be rooting for her.
Thanks for that.
That's a fun fact about her.
We finally can see her.
She's from Cork.
From the biggest county.
Now you're listening. She's also spent time in the Sevens program, making her Irish debut in 2018. Still only 26. So she's been around in Irish rugby and established for quite a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
She returned to 15's game in about 2021 with the absence of Catherine Dane at the time. And she's been in and around the squad since. She was at the Olympics as well, so she is another player to watch out for. She was actually the one of the three I had down for standout players because she is a quality player.
Before a ball is thrown.
Yes.
Excuse me. Who's going to win player of the tournament?
Georgia Miller.
Susanna?
I honestly, I could see it being Portia, who's made her return for New Zealand, which would almost be upsetting because I feel like she retired and let it go and she should have gotten worse. But instead, she's come back and maybe even gotten better. I think she scored 7 tries against the USA in one of the warm-up games. Like, that is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So she, I don't know, she might not be player of the tournament, but she definitely could be top try scorer, I think.
Yeah, I think if New Zealand win, it's between those two, Georgia Miller and Portia.
It's funny the age profile, like you mentioned, 26-year-old, it feels like it's been around forever.
Yeah.
Anna McGann is only 27. I know she you know, kind of came to the 15s game late as well, but like her second try against Canada in the warm-up game was just scandalous. But some of these players are in that sort of mid-20s to late-20s era, but in the prime of their careers, but feel like they've been around for a bit of time.
Yeah, it's funny, like the oldest player in the squad is Nicole Foley, who's still only 32. It's an incredibly young squad. Like, our starting out half is only 21. She will turn 22 during the tournament if we're still in it by the semi-final stage. But it is an incredibly young team, which can go one or two ways, can't it? It can be great to have the fresh legs in and players with plenty of minutes in them. But then at the same time, you might be lacking a little bit of game time. But at the same time, like, Beifan Parsons has been playing for the Ireland national team since she was 16.
Yeah.
She may only be 23, but she's 7 years of international rugby under her belt. So I wouldn't be too worried because a lot of these players have started quite young.
I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, Susanna, but what's the difference in quality levels between Japan and Spain from game one to game two?
I mean, Spain should be a good bit lower than Japan. It should be, if they can beat Japan, it should be an easier ride going into game two. But at the same time, a lot of the Spanish players have been playing in the PWR over in England. A few of them play with Harlequins, so they'll be Aoife Wafer's future teammate. Also, I don't know if you've been watching the sevens, but Spain have been on the up in international sevens, both in the men's and the women's. Right. So I feel like there's a real growth in kind of rugby culture in Spain. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see kind of what they come out with. But yeah, again, on paper, they should be an easier beat, I suppose, than Japan.
Listen, Dara, this is a hopeful segment. We're being very confident about Ireland's intentions, but would debate the following results with me if you have a different opinion.
Yeah.
WWD. Or WWL, sorry.
It's probably it's the likely.
Of course, massively likely.
Outcomes,
but
I think so,
do you think
it
will happen? So we'll beat Japan and Spain, we'll lose New Zealand, come second, play France in the quarterfinals.
Yes, I would agree. I do think Spain will be a very close game.
Do you? The second game?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. They broke our hearts a few years ago and stopped us qualifying for the World Cup, of course. We must not forget. But
come a long way since then, though.
We have. But there definitely is a bit of a... I'd say there's some not-so-healed wounds from that fixture. And they're just a dangerous team. Like, they're one of these teams that can catch you on the hop. And it's funny I'm saying that because we literally have Japan before that, who famously caught the men's team on the hop at a World Cup before. So the tricky games, I do think we'll win the first two. And New Zealand, we did beat them the last time we played, but it's just so hard to see us beating this team now. They seem destined for a final, I would say. But you never know. Like, we could put it up against them. And I think you don't need to win that game because, like we were saying, we're more than likely due France in a quarterfinal if everything goes well. And you fancy that fixture in a quarterfinal. Not that we expect to win, but we know we play France often and we're not far off beating them at all. So, I would agree with the win-win loss, I think. Yeah.
Beat New Zealand in the pool in 2014.
Yeah.
Ended up finishing fourth.
We did.
Yeah, fun fact, Ireland are one of the few teams that have a positive win rate over New Zealand. Apparently we have a 66% win rate.
We have only played them 3 times, but...
I know, but still, if you leave that out, 66% is a positive number.
Yeah.
And they've only...
if you leave out a crucial part of the context, it's pretty good.
But the All Blacks have only ever lost 2 World Cup games, and one of them was against Ireland. So, I mean, if you're looking at it from a mental point of view, maybe that helps.
100%. There's no reason they shouldn't go out and think they can beat New Zealand.
Gotta believe.
I think they will believe, yeah.
Well, if they've been listening to this lot, I think they're definitely gonna believe. We've been hyping it up and I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. So it's Sunday, 12 noon, Northampton, so you have to get the train down to Northampton now, Susanna.
I do have to get the train down, yeah. Hopping on and then straight into a press conference with coaches and players ahead of the team announcement today.
Brilliant. Looking forward to that. We're going to have Alison Miller on the show tomorrow on Off the Ball Saturday, and we're going to have Susanna yourself on Sunday for updates throughout that game as well. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We'll catch up over the next couple of days as well.